cliffcentral.com.
That's one of those songs I wish I could play on the guitar. Eric Clapton with Cocaine. Cliffcentral.com. Good morning. Sia Sangweni is in our Durban studio. Mbulelo Tinta is in our Joburg studio. Leanne is in our other Joburg studio. And I am in our Pretoria studio. And we've got some other characters and fun people joining in a little bit later on. And you can always get hold of us on 079-748-2090. Monday morning in the middle of lockdown. What is it, day four?
Day four, officially.
Lockdown. Lockdown, day four. I've run out of food. The zombies are at my door. I'm out of ammo, too, so I'm going to have to use a sword. Remember Michonne from The Walking Dead with that sword? I've got a sword like that. Come and fucking, you come and steal my baked beans, I'll cut your head off.
Oh, hey, talking about that, so you've been cooking.
I have. when cooking in inverted commas, I made myself.
You made something edible of sustenance for you.
Yeah, I cooked the hell out of some lamb chops on, what was it, Friday?
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I made some lamb. I did it in the grill in my oven, which my oven was so pleased that I was using it. It actually made an audible sound when I opened it up. It went, it's never been used. It sounded like that opening. You know when you switch on your computer for the first time and it goes, doodle-doodle-doodle. It sounded like that when I opened my oven. So how do you like that, huh? Me cooking.
The last time you said I cooked something, you made an avocado and tomato salad.
I know. my skills are very limited, so I'm no domestic god, trust me. All right, Leanne, you told us, and I teased the hell out of this on Friday, that you know something about the mystery of Patient Zero. We're getting closer to figuring out who Patient Zero was.
Yes.
Well, come on, out with it. Enough of this teasing.
I have a lot of tabs open on my laptop. I'm sorry. in the interest of being completely... Here we go. I've got it. Coronavirus investigators are one step closer to solving the mystery of Patient Zero.
Okay.
The person who started this all.
Was it Cardi B?
Oh, no, please.
Coronavirus! So you know that a seafood merchant in Wuhan, China... is believed to be the first person diagnosed as having the coronavirus, which we also know can be linked back to a wet market in China. These are all according to leaked documents. Okay, so none of what I'm saying is official news. Mm. It's also not, it may not be fake news. In fact, let me quote the source. This is from Fox News.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Then also the Daily Mail reported last week that China's The Paper claims, I have to be careful with all these claims, that Wei Guoshan, a 57-year-old woman working in Wuhan, is the first person on record to be infected with the coronavirus. She apparently told the Daily Mail that she started feeling sick on December the 10th. Thinking that she might have the flu, she went to a local clinic seeking treatment. She was given some pills and then got back to work selling live shrimp. Fast forward a week and Wei was barely conscious and clinging to life in a Chinese hospital bed.
Serves her right after starting this thing.
Oh, gosh. So that's what the reports are at the moment. She's still, you know, she got worse and worse, her symptoms. In fact, she then took herself to a second medical center. And it's weird because the second one she went to is called the 11th Hospital. So it was her second medical center, but it was the 11th Hospital. On December the 16th, she checked in at the Wuhan Union Hospital. It was there that doctors told her she had a ruthless illness and that several others from the area also seemed to have. And actually, she survived.
I'm annoyed about that she survived, because she did start this whole thing for us.
Wait a minute. Poor Wei, she could be the first person to be on record with the virus, but who can definitely say that it came from her? She could have been contaminated, and just she had the symptoms first.
You know, I don't like the way you're taking her side in this, Sia. I think that that's very irresponsible of you.
I'm probably a one of eight people the world over who'll take her side.
So let's seal this off by saying investigators believe that patient zero is not her.
Uh-huh.
They believe it may be someone else. So they're on your side, Sia.
All right, let's not lynch mob her then. Okay, I was getting ready with that same sword I was just telling you
put
about.
Put down your sword.
You know, especially Gareth, considering we haven't heard from coronavirus' side of the story about this whole thing.
Absolutely.
So once we hear corona...
Good for you, we need Mulalo, to be more considerate. Yeah. That's right, very good.
I don't want to hear from the coronavirus' side.
What do you like about the coronavirus?
Is that it's not actually a living thing. It's a piece of protein.
Yeah.
It only becomes alive once, or a thing, once it hooks onto
your cells.
Your cells and then starts its work.
Mm-mm. In my mind, it's alive and it sounds like Gilbert Gottfried.
In my mind, it sounds exactly like Cardi B.
Coronavirus!
Have you seen all the songs that they're making with Cardi B now with that coronavirus?
All the one song went to number five on the iTunes charts.
You're kidding.
I'm telling you.
That's incredible.
Welcome to the year 2020.
All right, Leanne, while we're talking about things that we left over from Friday, you also said that there are some do's and don'ts around video conferencing. Now, we're going to keep this brief because not everybody's going to be using this, but you may be new to video conferencing because everybody is suddenly doing it now. It's the only way to communicate with people, especially if you're stuck in a house and you're on your own. And the only way to communicate with people is video conferencing. Here are some useful tips from Leanne Moll about what you should do.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Huge organizations and, you know, we might take ourselves seriously, but there are huge organizations like banks, et cetera, that are working off online applications from work and from home rather. And the first thing that they're being asked is to test their internet connection before video conferencing. So, you know, you can use various, if you just Google test my internet speed, you'll be able to figure out how well it's working. The other thing is making sure that your hardware works. So testing out your microphone, your speaker, your headphones, and just seeing that you do have a decent level of quality for a video call.
And by the way, the way to test your internet speed is to just go onto the internet and just type into Google speed test, and it comes up with a number of speed tests. I'm doing it right now just to check my own one, because it's sometimes handy, because then you know who the culprit is if someone isn't able to connect properly. I got a 17 meg line roughly going on here.
Okay, I'm starting mine.
Let's see. Let's see who's got the biggest internet. Come on, bitches, do it. Let's see what we got here. See who's got the biggest internet this morning. See who the weakest link is. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Go on, let's see.
Okay, I'm testing. So testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you run the second is my download speed.
Mine is 19.93.
Oh, you have a bigger one than me, Leanne. Good for you with your big internet.
My penis is bigger.
Yes, very nice.
Now, wait a minute. Megabits. Oh, okay.
Okay. I have never done this before, you can tell.
No, I have never. Right. I have a 25 megabits download.
Ooh, look at you.
Wow.
But then I have a 7.56 megabits upload.
Okay.
I have a 1.72 upload.
Okay, my upload's 9.52, so I'm doing well on the uploads, but not on the down. And Mbulelo, you've got a perfect internet there because you're in our studio, right?
I just want to say we did a test a couple of weeks ago. We, myself and Spike, our sound genius, our guru here, got a 90 download, 80 upload. But today, tragically, that has dropped to I've got 78 download and I've got 69 upload.
Right, so you are definitely the biggest. All right, good
and
for you.
I just want to make something clear to people at home. Maybe they don't realize this is megabits, not megabytes.
Yeah.
So people always get confused. It's like, Why can't I download a 100 megabyte file in 1 second? It's megabits.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. People are dumb. Yeah, people are dumb.
The other thing to remember is that we have an undersea cable issue again.
Oh, right? I saw that on Friday. Of all the times for that to happen.
Yes, and the last time it took a month to fix, and that was when there wasn't coronavirus around.
Uh-oh.
All right, so give us some of these video conferencing tips. So we need to test our internet speed. What else?
Correct. The other thing you can do on various platforms is to blur or change your background. On Zoom, for instance, you can choose a virtual background.
And on Skype.
So it can be like an office setting, etc. You can also blur your background if your background's really shitty. Looking at the pile of stuff on my floor, I tried to do some fancy stuff with my actual, not virtual, background, mm-hmm. and did a whole thing, and then I tore it down because it looked cheesy. But it's a work in progress.
What were you trying? Did you put up some posters?
Well, no, I put up some fairy lights.
Oh, shame. That's so sweet. I love that. You're trying so hard.
I put up some fairy lights and some wrapping paper.
What in the 14-year-old YouTube stars going on with you?
Oh, my gosh. And then I was like, oh, hang on. I've got to do work calls as well.
Yeah, no, my mother's Gunsteling Gordena just have to do here.
Okay, another tip is that you need to now, especially in the office setting, in the workplace setting, is to know when to video conference and when not to. Because it's becoming almost like with emails now. You need to be selective and not say, hey, let's just have a video call, you know?
You can't do this to people at 10 o'clock at night. It's just not on. Even though they're at home and you know that that was where they were 6 hours before when you had a conference call, doesn't mean you can call them at 10 o'clock. And also, people, I've seen innumerable videos, and we've all seen them. They're on like the blooper reel nonstop, and you've probably been sent endless examples of this over the last few days. But there, you know, people whose naked husband runs through the house behind her while she's on the phone. There are people whose kids come in and make a noise while they're busy doing their video conferencing. There's people's dogs jump on the table. All kinds of crazy things happen. So, you know, we've also got to be understanding. There isn't a perfect way to do this. And not everybody looks like a professional when they get it going.
Yeah. And we also need to remember that some people have a lot more responsibility than just looking at the bunch of us at the moment. We don't have kids at home that we're trying to homeschool, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. How do you tell a kid that you're homeschooling, this is how it's going to be?
So, yeah, you've got to actually decide. Do you really need a video conference call for this, or can it just be an email?
And some of us don't have access to our barbers and our beauticians right now. If we can just slap some lip balm on, you must also understand that.
All right, before we get to Marius, Dips says the easiest way to find out what your internet connection speed is to just type fast.com into your browser, apparently. That's interesting. And this is also fun. This is from Luzon. Luzon says, so that woman in China's name is Wei, and she had the protein. Whey protein, but. Very nice. All right. And then Ruth says, I explained this entire new lockdown situation and how her life is going to change before the lockdown to my pet. She looked at me with concerned understanding. If people are getting better, why are there no antibodies that can assist in a vaccine? I'm no virologist, but surely something should be in the pipeline. Yes, there is something in the pipeline, but it takes a long time to develop a vaccine. I mean, it didn't, you know, for example, polio vaccine took like 10 years to develop. So if we can do it in less than a year, we can consider ourselves very lucky. Let's not jump the gun on this one. It's impossible for everybody to just hop on board without knowing exactly what the hell's going on. All right, so I said to you earlier we need to talk to somebody who understands these biometric systems because they're all around us, and if you're going in to your own complex or estate, or you're one of those people who's an essential service worker and you have to go into the office, people are just shutting down their biometric systems, which makes no sense at all because then the wrong people are going to get in. And, you know, people are signing and they're writing on clipboards. Don't tell me that doesn't pass germs along. I thought the best idea would be to speak to someone who actually knows what they're talking about on this, because we've heard enough fake news around biometric systems. So Marius Kutsia is the managing director of IDECO Biometrics. They're the biggest biometrics company in South Africa. And how do you provide biometrics access, and how does it survive while the control is under lockdown? In other words, how do you use your fingerprints or any other biometrics devices? So we talked to Marius now. IDECO, by the way, the primary distributor and system integrator for the world's leading biometric equipment in South Africa. IDECO Biometrics has been at the forefront of strategy and technology services in the field of identity management for more than 15 years. Marius, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
Morning, Gareth. Wonderful, and yourself?
Good. How's lockdown treating you?
I think we're privileged in the sense that we're on a small holding.
Okay.
So at least I can tell the kids to go and play outside somewhere without the without the risk of getting them contaminated and so on.
Or arrested, yeah.
So everything fine on this side. It's a quiet time. You can see there's nothing happening. There's no cars moving. There's no people walking around. So it's really locked down in the true sense of it.
It is. And Marius, this lockdown has implications for businesses and for private residences and people who have systems like yours in place. What's been happening around that?
Gareth, it's been an interesting few weeks for us, to the extent that, as you mentioned earlier, some of the organizations just bluntly said they're switching off the biometric systems. Some of the organizations are trying to switch over to legacy systems, systems like, as you mentioned, the book or the card-based access control solutions. Some of the customers are basically jumping at other technologies like facial and iris recognition systems. So we've been, for the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, we've been trying to calm our market, our customers, trying to talk some sense into the process, because the biggest risk is in time like this that organizations basically switch off security to the premises, and that is exactly when the villains are benefiting from the process.
Yeah, I think that this must be like jackpot time for some of these guys, especially in offices that they know are vacant. You know, you can go in and steal the place bare while people aren't there.
Exactly. So the biggest risk biggest concern we have is the fact that this virus, specifically, as the experts would put it, transfers with contact, I've since we became aware of it, I've made specific mental notes of how many times do you touch something, and it's physically impossible not to touch something. I've heard specialist psychologists talking that there's a neurological requirement that the human body has to touch your face approximately 19 times per minute, per hour.
Wow.
That's what they claim. But the reality is that you cannot not touch.
Yeah.
That's why the most effective way of treating this type of transmission of virus is to protect your face, that you don't touch it, first of all, and secondly, to continuously desterilize your hands as often as possible. Now, we've recommended to some organizations to provide sanitizers as close to the biometric readers, rather than switching off the reader itself, because if you don't control the access, there's many implications, and one of the major implications for some of the major retailers is their people are paid on the clocking information.
Right, so they clock in and clock out of work, and if you can't do your fingerprint scan, they don't know whether you've been there or not.
Exactly. So and it's all automated. I mean, if you can imagine, suddenly major retailers who've got 30,000 people nationally, now they have to switch over to a manual payroll process. That's literally physically impossible for them. So The only recommendation we could have made to date was to keep the system going and just make sure that once you've touched the unit itself, then sterilize your hands.
Well, I mean, at my gate, for example, we have a biometric scanner, fingerprint scanner there. It's probably one of yours. And I've been using that through the whole lockdown process. I mean, I haven't been in and out that many times. And they actually have a sanitizer dispenser right next to it. So you do your fingerprint scan and then you quickly sanitize your hands. It's the safest thing you could possibly do.
And that's the most logical way to approach this particular situation.
Right.
We can go into arguments to say that, yes, the type of biometrics that we use, it's got very high dense crystal lenses. And as a result of that, the lifetime of the virus is much shorter than on things like paper or whatever. But the reality is still that there is a possibility of transfer on any surface for that matter, not only the biometrics, any surface for that matter.
Well, I mean, if people just consider their own cell phones and how filthy those are, you're not going to pick up any less stuff from a fingerprint scanner than you would from your own dirty, filthy cell phone. So,
yeah,
I mean, they've done a search around this. They've said that the cell phone screen on these touchscreen phones has more filth and bacteria and dirt and disease and nonsense on it than a toilet seat. So, you know, you've got to be aware of that.
Yeah, and if you're going to a meeting, you keep your distance, but you still put your cell phone on the table, and
exactly. And then it spreads.
There is obviously other possibilities also. I mean, we have, as I said, touchless based biometrics. There's new technology in the market that you just wave your hand through the reader itself. It's extremely accurate. You don't have to touch anything. Mm-hmm. And it sees all four fingers on the hand itself, and based on that, it will identify the person or not. Facial recognition is something that's getting a lot of attention lately. Our opinion, and I mean, have you said it? We've been in the market for many years, but the reality is that the algorithms on facial is still not strong enough to provide you the level of security that you would really appreciate for an estate or for organization or whatever. There's technology that looks at the iris of the person. Now, the iris is a very, very reliable biometric. It's fairly expensive still. But, okay, I'll get to another issue that we have at this stage. Some other technology is looking at the vein structure, the vascular structure inside the palm of the hand.
Oh, wow. And that's individual? That's particular to an individual?
It's specific. There's up to a million matching points of the vascular structure in the hand itself, inside the hand.
Holy
so that is the most accurate type of technology, and it's also touchless. The challenge we face now is that now suddenly everything is a lockdown. We've been notified by our suppliers they cannot ship anything to South Africa some of the guys said for the next 2 months don't even consider placing orders because they just cannot ship. If you have the technology, now it needs to be installed. It needs to be integrated into the current systems. And who's going to do that? Mm. So we are literally in quite a predicament at this stage. As a result of the current lockdown globally.
Well, we will check in with you again, but I appreciate you just clearing that up for us because there are questions and most of us are just worried about whether or not the security systems will continue to function properly and what the alternatives are. So I appreciate you giving us some of your time this morning, Marius. Thank you very much.
You're more welcome and have a wonderful day.
Yeah, have a good day in lockdown. All right, there's Marius Kutsia. Yeah. Marius is the MD of IDECO Biometrics. Isn't that interesting that your hand's vascular structure has a million different points on it and is a much more reliable way of identifying you? How's that? Did you know that?
It's pretty. I'm looking at my hand now, and yeah. I can imagine that that's true. But to have the technology to pick that up, wow.
Well, they say thumbprint is the most unique thing on the planet. There isn't a replica anywhere in the world of your very thumbprint.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think
something new every day.
I think my balls. I should have my balls scanned. Imagine putting your balls in a device, and then everyone else's balls also go into a device.
but how would you do it? Would you?
I don't know. Maybe it's got like a barcode on it.
Indulge him.
We would wear pants with zips with our balls hanging out.
I love the way Leanne is saying our balls, like she has some.
Yeah, my balls are very unique, I must say.
All right. Here's a message from Zubeda, and this refers specifically to Mbulelo, but listen to this. So Zubeda says, "Hey Cliff Central, I'd like to thank you for continuing with the show during the lockdown. It's probably the only reason I'm able to wake up most days. I'm all alone in Joburg, and I won't see my fiance until this is over. It has not been easy. It's been 2 days into the lockdown, and I'm already losing my mind. Would it be possible for you to cut down on the coronavirus talk? It is depressing. I'm going crazy here, and I can't take it anymore. I know I can switch off, but I will not, or else I will die. Oh, and if you do read this, please say hi to Noxie, my fiance. She is in Botswana, and yes, we are a lesbian couple, and no, we don't shop at Builder's Warehouse all the time. Keep up the great work. The show has just kept me alive. Oh, and Mbulelo is annoying. He tries too hard, but I don't want him to lose his job. So ask Sia to coach him and put him in the back of the room somewhere to upload the podcasts. Kind regards, Zubeda."
That's fair feedback.
Do you want to respond, or are you happy with that?
Oh, no. I want to say hi to her fiance, and I hope they can be happy after lockdown.
All right, well, speaking of being happy in lockdown, Ernest North is in our other studio. He's in our other studio in his house, where he's currently wearing a T-shirt that says, "Get Naked at Home." He is the co-founder of Naked Insurance. Ernest, first of all, I'm not objective in this. We've been working with each other for some time. I am insured with Naked on my car, and I've actually taken off my car insurance. You know, you can pause it. And I've taken that off for the time that I'm in lockdown because I'm not driving anywhere.
Good morning, Gareth, and hi to the team. It's good to chat to you from this Cliff Central studio. you do have one, a tiny little studio here in my bedroom. These are crazy times, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, none of us could ever have imagined a time like this. And obviously the most important thing is for all of us to find ways to support each other and support communities during this time. And while lots of people are out there doing amazing things like saving lives and doing healthcare and that sort of thing, the only thing Naked Insurance could do was go back to the technology and the mathematics that we've built.
Mm-hmm.
We've always allowed people to save about 50% of the car insurance premiums on the days that they're not driving.
Yeah.
Because on these days that you're now pausing your accident cover, most people are with their cars at home.
Right.
So the chance of something actually happening or the car being stolen is extremely low. So during this time, we are reducing the premium that you pay when you are cover paused to about 10% of your normal premium.
Now, that's amazing because it makes so much sense, but a lot of standard insurers just, you know, you pay the same fee no matter what, and you're still covered. Let me be clear about this. If a huge rock falls from the sky and smashes into my car, I'm still covered for that, but I'm not covered for driving around while it's paused, right?
Exactly, exactly. So obviously all the normal things are covered, theft, flood, the hailstorm, anything like that. Even if the neighbor's kids are trying out new sports during this time, they hit your car with them. All of that is covered. Days that you do drive, the beauty of this thing is on the days that you do want to drive to the shops, that shouldn't be too often, but you should do it every day. Then you should just press the one button that says resume accident cover. All the billing happens automatically for that you're paying the normal premium. But on the days that you're not driving, you're paying the 10%.
Well, we're also all looking for ways to save a bit of money now because things are going to be tight for a couple of months and business is going to slow down across the board. I think many people are very concerned about the future of their jobs, the future of their employment, of business in the market and money flowing around generally. So if you can save a couple of rand here, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the other thing worth saying is that we started building Naked Insurance about 3 or 4 years ago with a vision that everything is going online. people are increasingly looking to control things themselves without speaking to a human on the other side. And of course, with that move towards technology being the enabler, mm-hmm. we cut a lot of costs from the system.
Yes.
And a common question I get, the most common question I get, apart from asking me why we call this business Naked, the common question I get is, why are our prices so low?
Yeah.
Because very often you look at our prices and they're like, no, but surely there must be something like something fishy here. Why is the prices so low? And the very simple answer is just technology has allowed us to automate everything we do. Our bots, Rose and Jade and the other bot we have, they keep selling insurance during this time.
I know. I spoke to Rose just the other day and she's delightful. She also doesn't take time off. Rose is always available. Rose is always polite. She doesn't get flustered. And she's not actually a person. You've just ruined my whole day because I thought Rose was an actual person responding to my messages.
She is actually a really kind lady in real life as well. So we can make a plan. But you know what the best thing about Rose is, actually, apart from her being friendly, is Rose always gives you the very best price possible from the beginning. We program Rose so that she cannot negotiate. We told Rose, cut out the bullshit, give people an indicative price, and then if they sort of threaten not to take it, drop the price. Just cut out the bullshit, give people the best price from the beginning.
Yeah.
So that's actually the greatest thing about Rose is insurance. People are used to this fact that they need to negotiate insurance, but we've built Rose in a way that she cannot negotiate. She gives you the best price from the beginning.
I love it. All right. And the cool thing about that, too, is it's 24/7. So, you know, you don't have to be during office hours when a human being's alive and awake. And you can do this anytime. It works on your app. Your app is an absolute pleasure to use. Apparently, we have to take a picture when we switch on our insurance again. Is that right?
It may, in certain circumstances, ask you to take a picture if it did behavior. If you're the kind of person that claims 11 o'clock at night, but you only switched on your cover at 10:30, then you may get asked for it. But actually, in most cases, you don't get asked for a picture.
Okay. All right. Well, is there any other complicated stuff that we need to know about this, or is it as simple as we've just heard?
No, I mean, the one last thing I wanted to appeal to our client base to is to remember that whatever cover you're on the first of the month, or if that's the day in which your premium gets collected, whatever cover you're on, that's the premium that we collect on that day for that whole month. So if you're normally paying $1,000 and now during this time your cover pause premium is $100, then on the first of the month, our system will collect $100. If on the third you go out for a drive, it'll automatically do the pro rata calculation, charge you on the third, mm-hmm. but if you then again, it'll refund you again. Everything happens in real time. Remember to be paused on midnight. At the start of the first, because then the lower premium will go off.
Right, and also be at home at midnight on the first, otherwise you'll be arrested, for God's sake.
Absolutely, and you should be doing kind things and sending people kind words and best wishes over this time, but you should be doing it from home.
Absolutely.
So we just want to encourage people. I mean, we've always had this feature of rewarding people when they're not driving, but it's never been... more relevant than now. We really want to encourage people to take this thing seriously, and together we'll get through this.
Have you got enough toilet paper?
No, I don't. I challenged my wife. We're aiming to go out sort of every third or fourth day to support the economy a little.
Good.
Also, my house is way too small to have room for extra stuff.
Well, Ernest, keep safe during lockdown. We'll keep letting people know about the amazing savings that you can have here. And I really commend you on helping people find a way during these tough times to save a bit of money. Nobody likes insurance. We've had these discussions before with you. But if we can find ways to make it work for us, I think people, their whole attitude changes to it and feels like something where you have a say instead of just being someone who gets told what to do all the time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks, team. Stay safe.
Awesome. Thank you. Ernest. There we go. Ernest North, who's the co-founder of Naked Insurance. You can find out more by going to their website. You can download their app. And if you want to get insured with them, speak to Ernest's team. There are people there all the time who are willing to help you out. And there's this bot, Rose, who's the nicest person in the world.
Rose has clearly made an impact on you.
Made a huge impact on me.
Of all the great things that Naked does.
Well, this just proves we don't need people, you see?
There it is.
All right.
Do you want to do the show with Rose? Is this where it's going?
I think so, Sia. You've finally cottoned on. All right, a few messages I want to get to this morning. There are lots of these. First of all, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. And if you have, I'm sorry, because I know we're all bombarding each other with stuff on the internet. But Wendell sent me a clip of Michael Rappaport. Did you see him? Michael Rappaport going off about Donald Trump. Okay, listen to this. Listen to Michael Rappaport.
Yo, what up, what up, what up? I know I need a fucking haircut. I'm not even brushing my hair. I'm taking showers.
Michael Rappaport, by the way, was a, I'd say like a C-grade actor in the 1980s. So I think he was a child star even. Listen to what he says about Donald Trump. You'll love this.
Yo, we're going to start seeing PSAs, public service announcements from celebrities, actors, musicians today. I was actually asked to do one where they say, please stay inside. I'm so-and-so. Please stay inside. I'm not doing it. I'm not asking please. I'm telling motherfuckers, stay your little punk, dirty, shit-stained ass inside. Parents, go outside. Grab your fucking kids by the neck. If you have sons, grab your daughters by the fucking, the little wedgie, the little fucking, the panty area, and drag them the fuck inside. All right? Motherfuckers still don't want to listen, and people are like, please come inside. Get your kids, okay? Go get your fucking kids wherever they are. They're not going to hang with their friend. Now you need to get on some tough, old school 1930s shit. Okay, parents, be responsible for your fucking kids, all right? Oh. Please stay inside, you guys. You don't understand. Fuck all that. Get your little dirty, fucking grubby, selfish, YOLO, fucking dumb, tattooed faces in the fucking house. Parents, get your fucking kids. Remember that old PSA back in the 70s? It's 9 a.m. Do you know where your kids are? This shit's 24/7. Get your fucking kids in the fucking house. Don't ask. Don't be nice. Like, where are you, Jeff? Donna, Tracy, what are you guys doing? They're out giving motherfuckers diseases and catching diseases. This nice guy shit, it's done. Get your fucking kids in
the... All right. I'm not even going to get to the Trump stuff because it's just too funny. But he makes a good point. Listen.
He's so intense.
I wish that we could put him on a loudhailer and drive him around South Africa because... I did go out once this weekend, right? On Sunday, I went and went to to my parents just to check in on them. And on the way there, I saw two cars. I saw an ambulance and I saw a Metro police car. That's it. So I'm proud of my neighborhood. People here seem to know what to do.
I haven't been out yet. I'm going out just now in the South African sense, which is in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
To take my cat to the vet, so I'll see what the roads look like.
Well, we sort of started talking about this, and I don't want to be one of those people who sounds like I'm preaching to everybody else what to do or shouting at you like Michael Rappaport is, but the deal is this. Either we do this lockdown or we don't. And what I mean is, like, either you're going to buy into it and you're going to stay at home, you're not going to infect anyone else and no one else is going to infect you, or you just don't give a shit. And if you just don't give a shit, then none of us should give a shit, because if there is a weak link somewhere in the system, the whole system fails. So when I see people going out and doing normal things, and I see people in the shopping malls, and I see people on TV in the streets just hanging around talking shit to each other, wherever, whether it's in Alex or in, you know, Bryanston, wherever people are being dumb, I'm sorry to tell you, but unless we all do this, it's completely pointless. And if you're going to do that stuff, coronavirus is coming for you first. Let's just be clear about
that. Yeah, I mean, this is a great teaching moment, right? Is we always argue a dichotomy between the individual and society.
Mm-hmm.
There's no individual without the society, and there's no society without the individual. It's something which I wish could be drummed in so much earlier in our teachings. And this is a good moment. Why? When things are bad, you need to realize that the two are in a symbiosis. So you should stop arguing for your individual rights separately from the society's rights. The two are side by side. They are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bulelo, I mean,
and I know your view, Gareth, but I'm afraid that this is where we need both. We need just a little of that. You accused me of having no EQ, which is very true, but we need a little bit of that. We need a little bit of that in this moment.
Yeah, and maybe. Do you think Ubuntu helps us? Or do you think it hinders us?
You know, I think sometimes we ignore Ubuntu as a fluffy thing, and I think in tragedy. And in tough times, let's not call it tragedy, but in challenging times, I think it does equip South Africans uniquely as opposed to the rest of the world where individualism has been a thing for so long. But Ubuntu binds us at the very core, and it's an unspoken bind, which is very often stronger than rules imposed by a government or teachers or by institutions. And I think South Africans, because of having this sort of je ne sais quoi that we call Ubuntu here, that binds us, I think we're uniquely based and positioned to deal with.
Yeah, but then I see people. COVID lockdown. I see people just flouting this stuff, and I think there's no Ubuntu going on in their heads. They're just thinking about themselves.
Sure, I think that's mostly us. But I think if you go back to rural areas, which I will do every now and then, you still see that notion of Ubuntu of there's no. If my food is mine, is kids from down the way are eating. We all eat together, you know, for next door neighbors to eat together. That's not big news. You know,
yeah, here, but by the way, we don't want everyone. Do not be eating together. That's exactly how the thing spreads. I know what you mean.
But look, the village mindset, it takes a village to raise a child. That mindset is not something you have to explain to people in rural places. People naturally have that. So I think in this, people are already so bound by Ubuntu, in my opinion, from what I've experienced and going to my grandmother's village when I was young. So I do think we must turn to that.
Apparently, Leanne, there are wild animals that practice social distancing to avoid getting sick. Is that true? So humans are not clever. We think we're so brilliant, but there are wild animals who do social distancing.
Absolutely, and they're really strict about it as well. So some species like chimpanzees, all the way down to or up to honeybees.
Please just tell me how chimpanzees are cleverer than human beings again. I love stories like this. Just remind us how dumb we are.
So what happens with chimpanzees? In fact, it was my very own idol, Jane Goodall, who observed a chimpanzee in 1966 while studying them in the Gombe Stream National Park in Tanzania. She observed a chimp named McGregor who had contracted polio, which is caused by a highly contagious virus. His fellow chimps attacked him and cast him out of the troop. I'm not saying this is how we should react.
Yes, I'm thinking this is good. Carry on. I'm taking
Gareth
notes.
Gareth is now trying to find way from Wuhan.
I'm writing notes down. Go on.
In one instance, the partially paralyzed chimp approached chimps grooming in a tree. Starved of social contact, he reached out a hand in greeting, but the others moved away without even so much as a backward glance.
Get
for a full 2 minutes, old McGregor sat motionless, staring after them. And as she said, it's really not that different to how some societies react today to such a tragedy. She noticed other instances of ostracized polio-ridden chimps during her research, though noted that in some cases, infected individuals were eventually welcomed back into the group. And like humans, chimps are very visual creatures, and some research suggests that the initial stigma towards polio-infected chimps may be driven by fear and, get this, disgust of their disfigurement, which is itself part of the strategy for avoiding catching the disease that causes such deformations.
Well, fear and disgust are also two things that keep us from our own filth. You know, people, we have an inbuilt fear and disgust of you know, lavatorial stuff and of disease and of certain smells. And that's what keeps us safe. I mean, that rotten egg smell that hydrogen sulfide gives off is because it's poisonous. So it's not that the smell is bad. It's that we've developed a way of reading that smell with our senses that makes us avoid it. And the thing that it makes us do is it makes us either fear it or be disgusted by it. So this is right. I mean, you remember leper colonies, right? They talk about them in the Bible.
Yeah.
He used to put all the lepers in a colony far away from the rest of us. And I'm reckoning this COVID thing, we're going to reopen some leper colonies.
Oh, be careful now. Be careful.
Yes. I'm thinking we took all those people who got off that goddamn plane from Italy and we put them in the leper colony right off the bat. We would have been able to save ourselves some trouble.
I knew that the story would get you. Just to mention, because I did mention honeybees, there are bacterial diseases that strike honeybee colonies. Yes. There's one called American fowl brood. Mm. And these actually liquefy the honeybee larvae from the inside.
Oh.
And that's where the name actually comes from. It's from the brown gooey mess. It smells very foul. So foul brood. Infected larvae emit certain telltale chemicals that older bees can smell, like bee pheromones. And once identified, the bees will physically toss these diseased members from the hive.
Ugh.
So, what animals are doing. Right down to frogs. There are frogs as well, the American bullfrog.
Are you telling me that frogs and chimpanzees and honeybees are better than me at social distancing?
I am, yes.
Then I just got to suck it up, I suppose.
And Caribbean spiny lobsters.
All right. Well, apparently those getting grants, they need to go to the shops. And they say, let's keep away from the shops till Thursday. Apparently this will help ease the pressure of people in queues. So, yes, the social distancing thing is all good and well, but it's not a perfect science either. So we should be aware of the fact that people are going to be queuing up to get their social grants now. They're going to be taking transport to and from these places where they get the social grants issued. And apparently we've got to stay away from the shops for the next 2 days just to give a bit of space to those people so that they're not even more hampered by other people's bodies being close to theirs. Two surfers were caught surfing in Jeffreys Bay. Those poor bastards are going to go to jail. Hopefully they catch the corona.
Oh, wow.
Leave them in the ocean then.
Just leave them in J-Bay. That's enough punishment living there.
That's from Craig. So apparently these two guys were caught surfing. So I don't know. Be careful
about all of these little incidences, man.
I know. That's ridiculous. Wow, look at this. Somebody just sent me their speed test, and it's even bigger than yours in Bulelo.
What?
Nelski.
Who are they? I will crush them.
Nelski just sent me this. My husband is an online English teacher, and I freelance in PR and marketing. Internet is super important for us. While my work is dried up, my husband is nonstop teaching the Chinese English. 146 megabits per second.
Outrageous.
Yes. Wow.
It's amazing.
Nelski, can you give us a desk? We'll come and do the show from your house.
Yeah, we could. Well, you see, we can't see it. That's the whole point.
Right. Okay. Nelsie, just evacuate your dining room. We'll take over that.
Apparently, there's been a man living on an island alone for 31 years. Now, that's the guy we need to speak to about social distancing.
He probably doesn't want to speak to us, though.
Yeah, he's getting on in years. His name is Maori Burundi.
Maori Burundi, of course, yeah.
No,
that's where Maori went.
You don't know him. No one knows him. Not until now, until the story came out. So way back in 1989, he was alone on a catamaran, and the engine crippled, and he washed up on the coast of Budeli Island, which is between Sardinia and Corsica. And as luck would have it, he actually knew the island's caretaker was retiring from his post. So he took on this new role. And 31 years later, he remains the sole resident and guardian of this island.
Wow.
And you'd think that, I don't know, when you think of a man living alone on an island, you could go two ways with your imagination. One can be like this really opulent, huge house, magnificent, and he lives like this. But no, I mean, this guy looks pretty homeless, to be honest.
I'm not surprised.
Sitting on his sun-drenched porch, but in the meantime, it's like a bit of canvas and rope, and he's wearing his slops and purple tracksuit pants.
Yeah, it sounds more Survivor than it does tropical island paradise.
Also, to be clear, if you I've been to Corsica, and Corsica is basically run by the mafia, right?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, it's like a mafia-run Paradise Island. So he probably doesn't want to mess with them. They probably pay him for whatever they keep wherever he is.
Oh yeah, he might be stocking spirits. this island is just so beautiful. It's unbelievably beautiful, and it's actually in the early 1990s. It was dubbed a place of high natural value by the Italian government, off to protect its fragile ecosystem. Areas remain accessible to visitors, but I doubt they're visiting this guy.
Yeah. Morning team, Michael from a quiet and chilled Switzerland here. I just wanted to ask Anthea something about eToro. Is it a service that she would recommend? I don't know whether she'd recommend that because Anthea is a financial, what do they call it? A licensed financial services provider. So she probably wants to give you the advice herself. But if you do use a platform like that, and I use eToro, it's quite a cool thing to do. I mean, I wouldn't put my life savings on it, but it's quite a fun thing to do. Only problem is you sign up for those things and then people call you nonstop. They're like, hi, Sarah, I'm calling you. Can I give you some advice? And you're like, no, thank you. I'm just playing. This is not a huge amount of money, in case you didn't notice. Apparently, I'm not the only one who couldn't get a slot on any of the online shopping delivery things. Apparently, this is a message I've just got now from Michelle. She says, with the online shopping, my delivery is coming on the 7th of April, but I went for it because I figured by that time I'll be so grateful for my delivery. It'll be like an episode of Survivor when they send you rice.
What a good way to look at
little things.
But I went to the shop yesterday, she says, and they let 10 people in at once. It was perfectly civilized. I needed a lighter, and they wouldn't sell me one. The cigarette counter was completely empty, and I got feeling very sorry for those smokers who rely on buying Lostros or 10 packs. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm having some challenges myself.
You're having a challenge.
Yeah, you're a stakeholder with some challenges.
Yeah, I managed to buy some cartons, but I've got two lighters and one of them is just finished. So
yeah,
I'm looking for sticks and stones in the
garden. I was about to say, have fun with a magnifying glass and the sunlight.
Yeah.
Because that's all you have to work with right now.
And then Woody, who has a shocking, it's Mandy. Mandy has a shocking internet connection. She's got a really, really poor one. It's like 1 megasecond or something. She says, Gareth, why was it so essential for you to go to your folks on Sunday? Why didn't you do that on WhatsApp or on the regular phone? Imagine if everyone did that yesterday. I took them some stuff, which is partly the reason that I did it. But also, you know what? They're already in the risk category. If I have it at some point, then, you know, they're going to get it. And as a family, it's me, my sister, her boyfriend, and my parents. My brother and sister-in-law are not visiting them with their kids because, you know, kids are like a cesspool of germs. No, it's true. I mean, this is why schools are where most of our disease gets carried around. So we've put our own rules in place, but I don't need you, Mrs. Hitler, telling me how to spend my Sunday.
Oh, hot damn.
Mandy Hitler. That's her actual surname. It says here, Mandy Hitler.
Oh, Mandy. And you mess it.
Surely they could sell you. Yeah, it's weird what they will and won't sell you. Surely a lighter should be fine. I mean, people don't just use lighters for cigarettes. Why can't you buy a lighter?
Exactly what I thought.
And apparently certain shops will sell you a kettle, but other ones won't.
Yeah, so I had to go grocery shopping over this weekend and saw a bunch of aisles that are just now barricaded. You know, because they aren't deemed essential. But yeah, the weirdest things that one can't buy.
Yeah, so some shops have just decided now is their chance to finally grab some, you know, authoritarian rule. And now they're going to impose a no kettle ban on all of us. Ooh, what are we going to do without our kettles? How could you do that to me, spa? Here I was thinking that I was coming to a shop, but no, I'm going into the gulag with spa.
Oh, no.
No kettle for me, you bad person. What would you do with a kettle during a lockdown? Something nefarious? I'm not going to ask questions and you're not going to get your kettle. Because I am the manager of this here supermarket, and my rules is my rules. Great. All right. Okay, everybody, listen, this is going to be fun, and we promise we by day 6 or 7, we'll stop talking about coronavirus completely, because we'll just be bored to death with it. And we've still got another, 13 days after that, so lots of things to get ready for.
Sure, okay.
I'm going to do some exercise this morning. I'm going to reply to all my emails, and I'm going to do some recordings for Blind History. That's my plan for the day. What's everybody else doing?
Yeah, well, right now we're starting with a new series called Living in Lockdown.
Yes, that's very exciting. We're going to speak to some of the most interesting
people.
We're
starting with our first episode now at 8.
Excellent. And this is with Ndaba Mandela, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, he, of course, got into the news last week with his announcement that he tested positive for the coronavirus. So you got to chat to him briefly last week.
That's right. I put a mask on, even though I'm in a different house with an when I spoke to him, I immediately put on the mask. I couldn't help myself.
Was that necessary?
Well, probably not. But you can never be too sure these days, right?
So if you want to find out how he's doing, I guess, then you'll tell us in the interview. Yeah.
Indeed. You can take a listen to that. That's coming up next, cliffcentral.com on a Monday morning. And we promise you lots more good shit on the way in the next couple of days. Very, very exciting stuff. And before we go, I just wanted to quickly let you know about this, because it's quite useful, I think, especially to people who are entrepreneurs. How has your entrepreneurship journey been? I'm sure now more than ever, you're finding yourself with many questions around tips and tricks for building your business and staying in business. Well, thanks to Epson, our conversation with PR guru Linda Moiketsi and creative Sibu Mabena and fashion designer Roxy Ferreira could probably help you out. At Epson Entrepreneurs, they can help you with some of your most burning questions. What would you like most to learn about to enhance your entrepreneurship path? You can send us a text on 0797482090. You can email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com, and we will get those three back into the studio to answer your questions soon. That's 0797482090, or you can email us, gareth@cliffcentral.com. Starting now, Living Under Lockdown. This is a brand new series that we're launching just for these strange times. We'll be speaking to a number of really interesting people, most of them South Africans, from different parts of the world, doing different things, and now suddenly all living under lockdown.
Cliffcentral.com.